Gavin, can you hear me? I joked with Gavin because as I was hooking this up, I said, Gavin, you all think that my dad is preaching, but Gavin's actually in the back, like, whispering in his ear, like, move to the left, take two hops. So if my dad starts doing weird things up here, it's probably Gavin in the back, like, do a headstand, do a somersault. Well, it's either that or something just is disconnected up, you know. And I'm allowed to say he's not here, so he can't do anything to me. Okay, let's open up in prayer and start our morning. Dear God, thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for allowing us to meet together, that we live in a country where we can freely worship you. That is a huge blessing. I pray that we could just glorify your name. I pray you would fill me with the Holy Spirit and that it would be your words coming out of me today. And I just pray that that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts and open our minds to what you want us to take away from today. Amen. To start off, I do have a prayer request. You can pray for our family, Gretchen, specifically. About 2 weeks ago, she started having like some Lyme-like symptoms. If you know anything about Lyme's disease, it can really mess you up. So that has really changed our household over the last couple weeks. So you can just keep that in your prayers as we kind of go through the steps necessary to figure that out. And that we could just focus on God and rely on God's timing. That all took place after my dad asked me to preach. So my dad asked me if I would speak, and I said yes. So then, like usual, Satan and the world is like, you know what? I'm going to mess things up. And Gretchen had also spoken at the women's brunch. And so just like usual, God, not God, but Satan's like, I'm going to try and mess you up. So I had some thoughts when my dad asked me to speak. I had some thoughts on what I was going to preach on today. And then everything kind of hit the fan and it kind of switched everything up. So here we are now. I'm going to read out of Acts. I'm going to start in Acts 16. Little overview about what's happening right now. I'm going to start reading at around 20. That's up there. Yeah, 25. Right around there. But to give an overview of what's taking place right now, Paul and Silas are, says they were going to the place of prayer. So they're traveling along. And there is a female slave that sees them, and the female slave has, it says, a spirit of prophecy. So she's able to do fortune telling, and it says her masters were making a lot of money off her doing fortune telling. So she sees Paul and Silas walking along, and it says in verse 16:17, it says, she followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. So here's this female slave has a spirit of prophecy that people go to her and she tells their fortune. And from what I can see here, the fortunes are, you know, what she's saying will happen to people is coming true because the masters are making a lot of money off that. So she sees Paul. She starts following them along. These men are servants of the Most High God and who are telling you the way to be saved. So she's now prophesying that these men have truth and they're telling you how to be saved. It says that this goes on for many days. And I have to imagine that it's many, many days because you would think that Paul and the people with him would be like, okay, this person is kind of telling people who we are and what we're doing. We're sharing the gospel. You would think that they would want that, because here is this female slave who is known to tell prophecies in the future, and she's telling people what Paul is saying. But Paul gets, it says, finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. So Paul got so annoyed. So you have to imagine it had been for many, many days that this female slave was walking around saying this, that they got so annoyed that Paul, in the name of Jesus, kicked out the Spirit. So that's kind of what's happening. And then the masters are upset that this Spirit is gone, because now they can't make money. So they get mad at Paul and they grab Paul and Silas. They drag them through the crowd, and they take them to the officials, and the crowd joins in. I think, you know, crowd mentality, you know, something's happening, you know, someone's about to get hurt. Yeah. So that's what's happening. It says they were severely flogged. So Paul and Silas were flogged, they were beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. So now we are going to enter in at Acts 16:25. So that's kind of what has just taken place. Paul and Silas were beaten, flogged, thrown in prison. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." So what do we find Paul and Silas doing at the beginning? We find them praying and singing hymns to God. So after being beaten, thrown in prison, we find them praising God. I want to believe, and I think the Bible would have it said, that, I guess my question when I was reading this to start, the question was, how do they have that mentality that after being beaten, flogged, and thrown in prison, at this point, when a disciple of Jesus gets thrown in prison, you don't really know what's going to happen to them. They can either be killed, they could be just forgotten in prison. God has had people come out of the prison with, like, Peter, but they don't know what's going to take place next. So typically, if you get thrown in prison, it's, like, not a good thing. So they don't know if they're going to die, be beaten more, what's going to happen. So how are they able to just rely on God and praise God in this time of uncertainty? I'm going to read starting at Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes the grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in strength of horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His words run swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and it melts them. He stirs up his breeze and the water flows. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all you angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters from above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all you rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his faithful people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Spirit that was in Paul and Silas in the prison is the same Spirit that had David and the psalmist write these psalms. The desire to live with a desire to praise in awe and wonder of a God who created everything, who is not surprised by anything. That's the desire that I want. I want that when I wake up. I want that when I lie down. I want that when I'm alone. I want that when I'm sharing the gospel. I want that when I'm in a group. I want that when I'm going through a trial. I want that desire to praise when things are going well, and I want that desire to praise when things are not going so well. I want praise to be the response that radiates through my bones, through all things. And why would I want that? Praise puts into perspective just how great and mighty is the Lord. It shifts our focus from us, from what we're going through. And not that God doesn't care about what we're going through, he does. But it shifts our focus from what we're going through, and it points it to God. It puts it on an all-knowing God who has created everything. On a God who, when we can't see the full picture, which, guess what, is always, it puts it on a God who does see the full picture. And he knows what's happening, and he knows what's going to happen next. In a world and in with our lives when there's uncertainty, which there's always uncertainty, things are always changing, that's life. Praise is a way of focusing on God, on a God who created us, who loves us, and who wants us. He wants us so much that he sent Jesus. That while we were still sinners, he sent Jesus Christ down to earth to die on a cross, to take the punishment that we deserve. And after 3 days, Jesus rose and defeated death. And through faith in him and putting our trust in him and having him in our lives and believing that he is God's son, that we can experience and we can know God and we can praise God for what he's done for us. That in itself, the gospel, is something worth praising at all times, in all things. That we were dead. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're dead. We were dead. If you don't know Christ, you're still dead. But Jesus Christ made a way that you can live. In Jesus Christ, we live. We are no longer dead. We have a relationship with God who created us. We can have that relationship. We can spend eternity with him. Praise not only shifts our focus, but at the end of that passage in Acts, when Paul and Silas are in prison and they have shifted their focus no longer on their pain, on their flogging, of no longer focusing on, we don't know what's going to happen next. Are we going to be beheaded? We don't know. It doesn't matter. Our focus is on God who created us and who loves us and can see the full picture. So they're praising God. And the other prisoners are listening. And they're probably thinking to themselves, what are these guys doing? They're crazy. And in a way, they are crazy. They're crazy about God. They're crazy about Jesus Christ. There's an earthquake. The prison shakes. All the doors fly open. And yet, somehow, Paul and Silas, I imagine Paul and Silas convinced the prisoners not to go anywhere. I mean, if I was a prisoner, the door flies open. I don't know Jesus. I think I'd be like, let's get out of here. Now's our chance to get on out of here. So somehow they're like, we're not going anywhere. So whether it's by Paul and Silas's praise and they're intrigued and whatever it is, but they don't go anywhere. Paul shouts, don't harm yourself, to the jailer. Jailer comes in. He's like, oh man, they're gone. Time to get out. I'm going to have to kill myself because I know I'm going to be tortured. And Paul goes, don't do that. We're all here. The jailer had been sleeping. I don't know if he heard Paul and Silas's hymns being sung or not. Maybe he did. My guess is he did, because he calls for lights and he goes, what must I do to be saved? Because this is not a normal thing if you have the opportunity to escape. You're in here, you're in jail singing songs. It's not normal. Doors open, you could escape, but for some reason you're still here. And the jailer goes, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas say, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Not only does praise shifting your focus, praise opens a door of peace with that shifted focus on God. So it does that. But it also is evident to people around you. We see that right here. The prisoners, the jailer, they know Paul's praising. Paul and Silas, they're praising God. And the jailer wants to know, what do you have? I want to know how to believe in Jesus Christ. Paul and Silas were living with such a desire to praise God that it attracted other people to Jesus. And they didn't even wait to the morning to go get baptized. They said, let's do it right now. Let's go get baptized right now. It says it was about midnight, middle of the night. They're going to find some water to get baptized. All because Paul and Silas had a spirit, the Holy Spirit, but just the desire to praise God in any circumstance and through all things. When your focus is on the all-powerful God, and you're living for Jesus and doing what Jesus wants you to do, and you, instead of, not that it's not hard, I'm sure Paul and Silas could have very easily chosen to focus on, man, we're in prison, this is terrible. But they didn't do that. They said, yeah, we're in prison, but we're going to praise God. In our own lives, when we're going through stuff, when there is uncertainty, when we might be in a prison, you know, could be an actual prison, who knows? But a prison of health, a prison of loneliness, a prison of whatever it is. Instead of focusing on that, if we shift our focus to praise God, who is all-knowing, who has everything in his hands, who loves you, who created you, who wants to know you, if we praise God for that, it opens the door of peace and it will attract others. So even while we feel like, how can we be used in this way? You know, if you're, whatever it is, feeling lonely or whatever, man, I can't be used right now. I'm dealing with something of my own. Well, guess what? God's bigger than that. And if you praise God, he will attract people. And your circumstance doesn't change your mission, which is to share the gospel. So when you focus on God and you choose to praise God, others will see that. Not only will you be at peace, but others will see that peace and say, what do they have and how can I get it? So with that, I am going to pray. I believe we have one more song that we are going to sing. So, dear God, thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for us. You did not have to do that. But you created us and you love us and you want us. And so you did send your son. And he took our place and he rose again. And he is the savior of the world. I thank you so much for that, because we were dead. But in Jesus we are alive. God, I pray that you fill us with the spirit of praise. That you fill us with the Holy Spirit, that when things are not going our way, or they are, or whatever it is, but that we can just praise you in all circumstances and glorify you in how we act and how we talk and just how we live, that others would be attracted to that, that we would be bold in speaking the gospel, that we would never stop praising your name because you are God. Psalm 145 to 150, just praising you, Jesus and God. Just all-powerful, all-knowing God. God, I pray that we would just praise you with everything we have and all of our breath. And when things are getting hard, that we shift our focus to praise you for who you are. Amen.